Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Sometimes my head spins when I listen to the controlled media, or the prostitute media, as Paul Craig Roberts calls it, as they destroy truth, omit and distort what's happening in the world. I can seldom watch them anymore. I only do it reluctantly to remind myself of the level of propaganda that defines them. It's no wonder that the majority of Americans are confused about what's happening in Syria and the rest of the Middle East. So today we're going to hear some alternative views and news sources on these topics. The global war on terror is on my mind today as the world leaders meet to look for solutions to the crisis in Syria. And here's what professor and founder of the great website globalresearch.ca, Michel Chudzidowski, had to say at an international conference on the New World Order.
Al-Qaeda and the Al-Qaeda-affiliated organizations, including the Islamic State, are not independent organizations. They are sponsored, and they are sponsored by the United States and its allies. It is documented that prior to 2011, there was a process of recruitment of mujahideen to fight in Syria, and this was coordinated by NATO and the Turkish High Command. This report is confirmed by Israeli news sources, and unequivocally, we are dealing with the state sponsorship of terrorism, the recruitment of mercenaries, the training and the financing of terrorism. As much as possible, the United States has delegated its authority to other partners, despite the fact that ultimately this is an initiative of U.S. intelligence coordinated with the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon.
Professor Michel Chudzidowski has a new book out called The Globalization of War, and you can get a copy on the website globalresearch.ca. He describes the new book here.
Well, this book is ultimately a reflection on how a global military agenda affects a series of countries, and it also looks into the issue of nuclear war. It is coupled with a broad historical overview. I start with a historical overview, then we get into nuclear war, nuclear energy, Fukushima, and then there's a series of chapters on countries, including Yugoslavia, Haiti, Iraq, Iran, and also more recently on Ukraine, to give a perspective on how this global military agenda is applied for different countries in different parts of the world with the ultimate purpose of destabilizing and transforming sovereign countries into territories which are then open space for Western foreign investment.
And now here's a clip from a news show on Russia Today, or RT as it's known, about who's supporting ISIS.
The Pakistani police arrested an ISIS commander, Yusuf al-Salafi, and sources told Pakistan's Express Tribune that the commander confessed to receiving funds routed through the United States to recruit young people to fight in Syria. Al-Salafi reportedly said he received around $600 for every recruit he sent to Syria, and that he was working with the support of an imam. The paper quotes one source saying, "The U.S. has been condemning the Islamic State activities, but unfortunately has not been able to stop the funding of these organizations, which is being routed through the U.S. This report raises so many questions. First of all, is al-Salafi telling the truth? If he is, does this make U.S. banks complicit in funding terrorists? And another one, were U.S. authorities aware of this? It's no secret that just a little over a year ago, fighting ISIS was not a priority for the U.S. Washington was focused on trying to remove Bashar Assad from power. We now hear that President Obama will ask Congress for $5.3 $1 billion to equip and train Iraqi soldiers and quote-unquote moderate Syrian rebels to fight the Islamic State militants. Over the past few years, Washington has been much criticized for not having a good idea about who exactly is doing the fighting on the side of the opposition in Syria. And many are now concerned that some part of this new package of funding and weapons could end up in the hands of ISIS.
And now here's journalist and author John Pilger discussing the Middle East and ISIS on the RT program called Going Underground.
Already, Cameron has given French bombers the use of Britain's base in Cyprus from which to conduct bombing raids on Syria. But unlike Russia, France is bombing without President Assad's permission and in support of Syrian rebels. With me is one of the world's greatest journalists who knows better than most about the impact of imperial wars, from Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos to the British Labour Party's catastrophic wars on Afghanistan and Iraq, and to David Cameron's destruction of the richest country in Africa, Libya. His new film, American Power in the Asia Pacific, and its new challenge from China is out next year. John Pilger, thanks for coming back on Going Underground. So how are ISIS the progeny of Washington, London and Paris?
Oh, they are the not only the progeny, they are the fully grown up, manic, adolescent creature belonging to Paris, London, Obama and the United States. Without the support of these three countries, without the arms that have been given to ISIS, either they've been given directly to Jabhat al-Nusra and have gone to ISIS, or they've gone the other way, or they've gone to the Wahhabists in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, but the French, the British, the Americans, and the Turks have all supplied those who have kept ISIS going. You know, if David Cameron had won his Commons vote a couple of years ago, ISIS would now be in charge in Syria. In other words, the Middle East's most multi-ethnic, multicultural state would be finished, and these fanatics would be in charge, and that would be thanks entirely to Western actions. Western actions that are reinforced by our propaganda. Propaganda is so powerful now. I've never known really a time when propaganda has played such an important part. And that includes 2003, when propaganda allowed Blair to go ahead with Bush and invade Iraq. I mean, here we have this orchestrated hysteria following the terrible events in Paris, being reported so selectively, so rapaciously. Just now, The Guardian has admitted that it suppressed comment that might suggest that Western policies had something at all to do with ISIS and the attacks on Paris. And we know that Cameron has ignored everything that Blair was told by all the intelligence and security agencies, from MI6 all the way through. We had the former ambassador, Oliver Miles, saying that, just reeling off all those government institutions that warned Blair that if he attacked Iraq, then it would come back, there would be blowback. Nothing less would inspire young Muslims to go and fight on the side of the fanatics. Cameron knows all that. I mean, is this man serious? Is he a serious human being? We really need to ask that. Or is he just this kind of verbose sociopath, as he comes across now as, with his ludicrous policies?
You quote in your updated article, which harks back to the bombing of Cambodia to explain events today, you quote the former French Foreign Minister Roland Dumas saying that British officials in London were talking to him about Cameron's support for regime change, for destabilizing Syria. Would you appeal to someone to leak that information? He said he couldn't go into more detail because for fear of litigation himself.
Yeah, well, that was 2013. Dumas, in an interview on French television, said that he was happened to be in England, and he was invited in to see people in the government, and asked if he would like to take part in a project they had. And that project was an attack on Syria. But, you know, that's 2013. We can go back to the 1950s when British intelligence was plotting the end of the regime in Syria. Syria's crime, Syria's main crime, is that it is independent and it stands against Israel dominating that part of the world. It stands with, these days, with Iran. It stands with the other opponents, Hezbollah, now with Russia. There is no question that if there was an election tomorrow, all those minorities that look to this government in Damascus for all its violations of human rights, and no one doubts those, look to it as its protector, because the alternative is ISIS. And everything the West has done has been to create first the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, then with the invasion of Iraq in 2003, then in 2011, the invasion and destruction of Libya. That probably was the crucial, that was the turning point. The French, the British, the Americans, less so in this adventure, was mainly the French and the British. Since then, Hollande has openly sold arms to Jabhat al-Nusra. The arms of French rocket launchers have ended up with ISIS. This year in April, it did $7 billion deal for French jets with Qatar, and it did a $12 billion deal in June with Saudi Arabia.
But then I suppose David Cameron, in the next few hours, may be making the case that, okay, maybe those were mistakes, but you're an appeaser if you believe that the threat of bombs in British cities in response to a Syria bombing campaign should make us avert our eyes and not bomb even what we created.
But that's you know as well as I know. I know why you have to ask it, but that's a sort of ludicrous.
There'll be the argument.
That's a ludicrous
suggestion. Jeremy Corbyn's shadow cabinet members will be making this argument.
Well, Jeremy, the Labour Party have been almost as much a party to this horrendous state of affairs in the Middle East. The Maan News Agency have just published A Day in the Life of Palestine, all being ignored, with one Israeli crime after the other. We have in Israel, you know, what is effectively a lawless and terrorist state protected by Britain, by the United States, by France, and by the EU. The EU, which does deals with Israeli arms companies. So much money has been made out of the suffering of people in the Middle East. And those arms deals that the French have just done, just think about that. Put that against this rather strutting plastic little Napoleon that Hollande has presented himself as in the last few days. We are at war. The Republic is at war. Well, sure, yeah, he's at war and he's supplying the wherewithal, the arms for that war, for the very enemy that he denounces. This kind of double standard now, this hypocrisy, has become so much part of our public life, such an underpinning to so much media now, that I think people are understanding much more than they're given credit for.
Do you think that Washington, which has been helping PKK affiliates, that happening on one side, Britain supposedly wanting to combat ISIS now, whilst being friendly with Turkey, shows that the NATO alliance is finally in a sort of terminal disarray?
They certainly are intact enough to do an enormous amount of damage. Their last big adventure in Libya is probably the prime reason that there is so much turmoil now and there is so much fanaticism. The Russians, Putin, it seems to be one of the most serious people involved in the Middle East. He pointed out that the long lines of trucks, ISIS trucks that are stealing Syria's oil, haven't been interdicted during the so-called Western war against ISIS. The Western war against ISIS has been a farce. While feeding the monster of the fanaticism through Jabhat al-Nusra, through ISIS, apparently through something called the Free Syrian Army, which, as we now know, doesn't exist, in effect, doesn't exist.
Well, let's go to the media now. Did it surprise you how the Murdoch press reacted to Paris and seemed to do exactly what ISIS would have wanted journalists to do?
But it's not only the Murdoch press. It's like saying in the United States, is it surprising that Fox News had behaved like Fox News? Well, in this country, the Murdoch press behaved like the Murdoch press. The Daily Mail behaves like the Daily Mail. We shouldn't be surprised. But now we have right across the board, and that includes serious papers, papers who claim to their readers that they have some gravity, some conscience, like The Guardian, but being part of this orchestration for the escalation of war in that part of the world. When The Guardian suppresses comment that it should be patently obvious to anybody that it is the West that has created this monster of killing and suffering and of dispossession in the Middle East.
Do you think when, a lot of Tony Blair's old friends obviously on The Guardian newspaper, we don't want to just pick on that paper, The Observer did support
well, no one
the 2003 war.
No one always suggests that there is a serious side to the press. That's that pretension is very important to certain newspapers. It's a pretension very important to the BBC, and it's very important to The Guardian. But the propaganda is even more lethal because it comes from sources of news that have credibility.
Well, when Jeremy Corbyn presumably exterminates those remnants of the Blairite Labour Party that I suppose the accusations are guilty of war crimes, mm-hmm. will that change things in the media representation of war?
I don't know. I can't imagine personally, and I wish Jeremy Corbyn all the luck in the world, but I can't imagine the Labour Party changing. It's a warlike party, and it has been that. It has a number of people in its shadow cabinet who are just eager to bomb. It's a warlike party. The media has always beaten the drums of war. You had journalists, I made a film with journalists saying in it, had the lies about Iraq been questioned, had Blair's lies been questioned instead of being amplified, then that war might not have happened. That certainly was true in America. You have very distinguished journalists who've said that had the propaganda not been allowed to run its course, that had journalists done their job and questioned the propaganda, challenged the propaganda, that war might not have happened. I'm not sure about that myself, but it's an interesting idea because, you know, almost 1 million people died as a result of that invasion.
And what about the divisions within society? I mean, the Sun headline, 1 in 5 Muslims would support ISIS, thus the kind of thing ISIS presumably would want to have created.
I don't believe anything in the Sun, really.
But when it comes to even refugee, the refugee crisis, as you say, on the BBC regularly we hear kind of attempts at trying to say we need a fortress Britain and it's the fault of refugees.
Well, the fortress Britain hasn't paid off. What can you do about somebody who decides to blow themselves up? There's almost no defence to that. So what you do is you go to the cause, those bombs on the 7th of July 2005 were Blair's bombs that went off in London. So much of the suffering of people, the terrorist attacks and so on, can be brought back to actions taken at great remove in distance and culture by the leaders of Western governments. Going back to Afghanistan in the 1980s, when the architect of the creation of the Mujahideen as an organization built to overthrow the Soviet Union, basically, that was admitted by Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor, who set it up. And we've seen this support for fanaticism, Islamic fanaticism, by Western governments right, you can go further back. Go back to the time when the Muslim Brotherhood, at its most fanatical, was given a place to organize in the offices of the Suez Canal Company, then controlled by Britain. Read Mark Curtis's extraordinary book about this alliance between imperial Western governments and the creation of Muslim fanaticism. While doing that, demanding that the one government that could stand up to them, that's in Damascus, be overthrown.
Is the only beginning of a solution, you mentioned Palestine, for Britain to sever ties or whatever, do something about Israel-Palestine, is that the way to outflank ISIS and its propaganda?
We could have a wish list, couldn't we? The top of the wish list is there has to be a concerted effort, clearly, to stop the destruction of Syria, the final destruction. The second priority should be all the parties negotiating a way to deal with ISIS. I can't imagine that happening.
Finally, then, who wins out of this? Who is winning out of all this turmoil?
Well, the people who are killed in Paris are not winning, are they? And the people who were killed in Palestine are not winning. And the people who were killed by ISIS in Beirut, who the media all but ignored, are not winning. So all those people who suffer and are maimed, all those 700,000 widows in Iraq, they're certainly not winning. It has to stop. And in my view, it will only stop when people force their governments to stop. Now, how that is done, I can't really say, but that certainly is the only solution that is left to us now.
And again, that was author and journalist John Pilger from an interview on the RT program Going Underground with host Afshin Ratansi. So it's kind of a twisted farce, if the consequences weren't so tragic, that the United States, NATO, and their allies in the Middle East created, trained, and support ISIS, and at the same time pretend to be fighting ISIS, and are now going to be attending a Syrian peace conference in Geneva in January. It gets even more twisted because the U.S. is reported to have set up a base inside Syria. And here's a paragraph from a recent article by the Donbass International News Agency from January 21, 2016, called America and Turkey Begin Ground Invasion of Syria. How will Russia respond? And here goes. Amid an almost total Western media blackout, Turkey and the U.S. have initiated a military invasion of Syrian territory. On Wednesday evening, the Turkish army reportedly entered Syrian territory near Jarablus. U.S. troops took control of Remelan airfield in Syria's northern province of Hasaka. It's unclear what are the real objectives for Western military operations on Syrian soil. According to the latest news, a major Turkish intervention is expected. And it's important to remember that Russia has been invited into Syria to help Syria out, but the U.S. and Turkey have not. So this is really a violation of international law. I mean, it's really an invasion of another country. So I think it's time that we let our congresspeople know that we know who's behind ISIS and that we want it to stop. Organize 5 to 10 of your friends, family, people you know, to call your congresspeople daily and tell them to take back their powers to declare war and to get us out of Syria. Tell them you won't vote for them and you won't give them any money for their next election campaign unless they do this. It may not have any effect on them, but at least they'll know that we're not being fooled. And you could also call the controlled media outlets and let them know that we also know, and let them know that their credibility is suffering because they're not telling the people the truth. They're giving us pure propaganda. Let them know we're on to the game. And now I'm going to end the show with some thoughts from John Lennon on who rules our world.
I think our society is run by insane people for insane objects, objectives. And I think that's what I sussed when I was 16 and 12, way down the line. But I expressed it differently all through my life. It's the same thing I'm expressing all the time. But now I can put it into that sentence that I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends, you know. If anybody can put on paper what our government and the American government, etc., and the Russian, Chinese, what they are actually trying to do, you know, and how, what they think they're doing, I'd be very pleased to know what they think they're doing. I think they're all insane. You know, but I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. You know, that's what's insane about it. Every country's had a violent revolution for one reason or the other. Not one of them has the freedom we're all talking about. So we're saying give peace a chance, you know, like nobody's ever done it before. And it's not a matter of, we're not thinking in terms of 10 years, we're thinking in terms of peace forever, you know. And everybody's talking about now, I want peace now, we can get peace now if we want it now. And the left wing talk about giving the power to the people. You know, anybody knows that the people have the power. All we have to do is awaken the power in the people. The people are unaware. It's like they're not educated to realize that they have power. They put the politicians in power. They vote for the local mayor. The people do it. But the system is so geared that everybody believes that just the father will fix everything, the father being the government. Government will fix everything. It is all government's fault. You know, shake your fist at the government. Well, we are the government. The people are the government, and the people have the power, but we must try and make them aware of this.
9/11 wake-up call shows are archived for 2 weeks after airing on the WWUH.org website, and more permanently on the website radioforall.net. And that's the digit four, so radioforall.net. Once on the site, click on Contributor, and then the letter C, and look for my name, Cheryl, on page 3 of the C's. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.
This is from the old school, new school.